Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
I got the keys. I got the keys, finally. Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, fresh out of the bubble and the NBA, its schedule is already being discussed, and the turnaround is tight. We will dissect that right after this, and maybe dance a little bit. But right now, let's stick with the NFL, because Sundays have taken over all of our lives. I was the luckiest person yesterday, actually, honestly, because I forgot to set my fantasy lineup with an active player going Thursday, which I'm learning as we go, and it was Greg Ward. So I'm very excited, because I got 15.2 points.
Which is amazing, by the way, that in 2020, the Eagles have allowed you to be able to get excited about Greg Ward and Boston Scott as people slander that team. I digress.
I'm not going to lie. I was sitting there with my friend, and I was like, how could this mistake have happened? He's locked in, and like that late touch. I was like, yes, go Greg. So yeah, that was my yesterday. And speaking of, you know, this week, we got to get you set for this week in the NFL. But I talked about my fantasy team, and its name is 99 Problems and Winning's One. I feel like this is the weekend that my fantasy team makes it finally from the friend zone to the end zone. I really feel like things are coming in formation for me.
All right, that's the charge here, to try and figure out this weekend who is going to work their way out of the mythical friend zone in these situations in the NFL. And we got an interesting plot twist in this one, because we all know today's focus has been about properly scouting height on dating apps. Jhené claims to be an expert on finding the sweet spot on this. So we're going to find a way to weave that into what we've got here as we head into the NFL weekend coming up.
As millennials, one of the greatest triumphs in life is watching someone make it out of the friend zone. You're hoping, wishing.
You're strategizing.
And that's what we're going to try and do here this weekend. We want to get everyone ready for this weekend in the NFL.
End zone or friend zone.
Let you know who's going to end up in the friend zone or the end zone when it comes to this NFL Sunday.
Friend zone to the
end zone.
End zone or friend zone is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. You got money. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes, from customization and service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. All right, Jhené, let's take a look at what we've got coming up first in the action this weekend.
Steelers and Titans.
Steelers, Titans, Jhené, we talked to Troy Polamalu about this earlier, which is a cool thing that we get to say now, about a game that he probably won't watch, but we will. 5-0, undefeated on both sides for the Steelers and Titans. Who are you looking at, friend zone or end zone in this one?
In the end zone, I'm going to actually put the Steelers defense, because earlier this week I was talking about the Titans and how hard it is to stop Derrick Henry. If anybody can do it, I feel like the Steelers defense maybe can. They're tied with second in interceptions with 8 total. They're second in total defense, third in scoring defense. So I think they were going to dial in on Derrick Henry. So I'm going to put their defense into the end zone for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. Understand that one completely, Jhené. And that's why I'm kind of going oppo on this one, because I'm very curious how the Steelers are in a world post Devin Bush's injury. Stellar off linebacker, because this Pittsburgh defense has been great defending one of the things that Tennessee does best: play action passes. They allow the lowest QBR in the league and the lowest completion rate since the start of last season on those plays. And Jonnu Smith is who I look for specifically, coming back up, full participant in practice this week, as we look at A.J. Brown showing up on the injury report. Some questions maybe there. Could be a game with a linebacker out, an all-world linebacker like the one they've got there, for Jonnu Smith to go in and eat. What do we got next?
49ers and Patriots.
49ers and Patriots, and boy, oh boy, if we're going to talk about handsome people in dating apps, this is a heck of a game to do it against here. Cam Newton and Jimmy Garoppolo squaring off. Friend zone or end zone, Jhené, what do you got?
I'm putting Kittle in the end zone, just because, I mean, it might seem obvious, but anytime you get Coach Belichick saying, I'd put him right at the top of the league there, period. He's as good as anybody that I've coached, or as good as anybody that we played against. He's leading all tight ends in receiving yards per game and also receptions per game. So this one seems like an obvious.
Yes!
It does. You know what? I'll give you that one. Does seem rather obvious. Bill Belichick, anytime he is effusive with praise on someone, he tends to compliment the guys that he would like to later have come over and be Patriots. I'm going to take the unique opportunity to put Jimmy Garoppolo in the friend zone, something that probably has never happened to him before in his life.
I can't. I mean, snaps for that.
Even looking across to the other sideline, Bill Belichick probably still doesn't want to put him in the friend zone at this point. We know how much Bill loved Jimmy, but when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo this season, certainly dealt with the high ankle sprain that was documented plenty in the broadcast last weekend, averaging just 7.4 yards per attempt this season, 18th in the NFL, down over a yard per attempt from last season when he was third. And I just think he hasn't looked quite like himself. Certainly injuries around him, but ultimately this is a Kyle Shanahan offense that we said is pretty easy to operate when you're in that quarterback position spot. Jimmy Garoppolo has never really taken that next step. And so I think against this Patriots secondary especially, going to be a rough outing for Jimmy Handsome.
Buccaneers at Raiders.
Realistically, I just like putting pretty guys in the friend zone. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's what? Karmic justice. Are you saying it's karma? Okay.
It is a little bit of karma here. All right, Janae, what do you got for this one? Bucks at Raiders this weekend.
I guess I'm being really generous because, you know, a lot of people saw in the last Buccaneers game that it was the Gronk game where he was able to explode and he was patient with his offense and finally it got delivered at the right time against the Packers. But now, you know, a lot of people aren't realizing it was Ronald Jones who actually unlocked their offense, making things better. He's the only running back on a current streak with three straight 100-yard games, and I don't think he stops anytime soon. And I know with the Raiders, it was sort of easier like to put them in the friend zone, but I don't want to kick someone while they're already down.
Yeah, certainly the Raiders dealing with a lot going into this weekend. This game was supposed to be in Sunday Night Football, flexed out because the entire Raiders offensive line is on the COVID reserve list after Trent Brown tested positive, waiting to see if they'll be on the field. I'm going to go, Chinee, end zone on this for a nose guard. That's newly acquired Tampa Bay Bucks nose guard Steve McClendon. Why, you ask? Well, Steve McClendon got traded last week. He was playing for the New York Jets and got the news that he was going to be traded on Saturday night. And he got the news that a car was going to be waiting for him Sunday. Their game was in Miami to come to Tampa. Why is this significant? Because Steve McClendon, who got that news, and normally, Chinee, when that happens, they'll make a player inactive for that game. The organization won't risk it. The player won't risk it. Steve McClendon said he woke up. He prayed, and I was like, I told my boys, this is one last ride together. A lot of guys were saying, man, you really going to play? Man, this could be the last time I play with you guys in my career. Let's go out here and have some fun. Let's go out and make it a great one. Unbelievable move. I can't say that I would do it myself. I can't say that I would co-sign it for anybody else. But Steve McClendon, who is a guy I got to play with a little bit in training camp in Pittsburgh, is an all-time dude, a very underrated player in this league in an inglorious position, and one that Tampa Bay needs some relief at. They lost Vita Vea to a season-ending injury, one of the most talented in the league. He gets to reunite with Todd Bowles in the Bucks. A lot of nose guard talk today. I am all for it on this one. Last one up.
Seahawks at Cardinals.
All right. And, well, according to Adam Schefter, Antonio Brown is visiting the Bucks, flying down to Tampa tonight. Brown's still in talks with Seattle as well, so something to keep an eye on there. Tom Brady, who enjoyed some success with Antonio Brown in his lone outing when the Patriots played Miami during last year when Antonio was on that team. So we move from that news to the Seahawks, another one of the teams involved in this, facing off against the Cardinals this weekend. Janae,
friend
zone
or
end zone?
I want you to go first.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't want to write one down because I know what
you're
going to
go
with here.
Okay, good, because
I'm
going to act a little foolish. In the friend zone, maybe the reported heights of the quarterbacks? Because if you think about these guys, you said Russell Wilson, 6 foot. He's more like 5'10". Kyler Murray, around 6 foot, more like 5'10". But hey, one thing I love about this, though, is that I think Kyler, he's going to really make the end zone just because if we look at what he was able to do versus the Cowboys, 9 completions, I believe, passing the ball and still able to get a win. Now going up against the likely MVP, if we had the small sample size, he's going to want to show out. So these smaller quarterbacks are still coming up big.
Yes.
Okay. Did I bring that all the way around?
I can't believe you just put the short guys in the friend zone. After all of this.
I'm sorry. I'm 6'3". I'm sorry.
After all Russell Wilson has accomplished in this league, after Kyler Murray going out and doing what he did last year in the first year of Cliff Kingsbury's offense, we are no strangers to the low-hanging fruit around here on this show. I can assure you of that.
Both of them are still winning, okay?
They are still winning. It really was amazing. 9 completions, and yet Kyler Murray was a blur against a really bad Dallas defense. We know Seattle struggles to get after the passer, but I'm with you. Kyler Murray is a pretty safe bet to, I think, not repeat. A guy excited. Remember, going back into a stadium in Arlington where he was undefeated in his high school career, obviously a legend around there. I think the nerves are a little calmer shockingly against a much better team in Seattle.
And my favorite nugget here is that Kyler Murray, he's had 5 games with a passing and rushing touchdown. That is the most by any player through 6 games in NFL history.
Wow. I learned something today. We are back. All right, speaking of being back, we're not really back, like back, like the kind of back Miami and Texas are always looking to be back around here until we get to 6:15 on a Friday. I know what it is. You know what it is. We all get to enjoy some of that and figure out what we're getting for Christmas. That's next. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Let's go. Shout out to our friends at Mass General Hospital. Kelly Fusillo, Anna Cardoni, Laura Lucchini. Our friends, they are cardiac surgery physician's assistants there, and they are getting down with us here on a Friday, Chenay. I love it.
Oh my gosh, our Too Damn Friday is worldwide now, or at least regional. It's regional. We got to start there.
We're starting regional, Chenay. But this is the way I look at things, is I turned down the volume. I was getting really hype in here. I turned the music up. Everything's kind of loud. As we talk about it being regional, I'd say this. We're encouraging growth. I think as the Joker once said in one of the original Batman movies, we're looking towards expansion. So tweet us at the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Chenay, at Mike Golic Jr. If you are getting hype with us on Friday ever, send in a video and we'll play it like that. Because quite honestly, I can't keep sweating through outfits like this and twerking this hard. I'm going to rip jeans eventually.
You were pretty chill, but that's because we had guests really steal the show. And you know, we always go big on Fridays. Chenay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Chenay Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. now. In about 10 minutes, we'll get you set for Game 3 of the World Series with one of our own on the call. But breaking news, Antonio Brown has been the prospect on a lot of teams' minds, especially this week. The Seahawks, the Ravens, and the Saints. Junior, now it looks like he's finally found a home.
Yeah, it looks that it's moving that way. So Adam Schefter has been tweeting this in the last 15 minutes that Antonio Brown will visit the Buccaneers on Saturday. As Aaron Wilson also reported from the NFL, Brown is flying to Tampa tonight. He's also in discussion with Seattle. Then he followed up and tweeted Antonio Brown and the Buccaneers are working towards an agreement. According to a source, both sides want to get it done. There are steps being taken on this visit and Seattle is still in the mix, but the Buccaneers have emerged as favorites. Tom Brady has been a driving force behind Tampa's interest. Now both sides working to make it happen. Again, this all according to our ESPN insider, Adam Schefter. Tom Brady is more driven. More driven is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Chenay, someone that we had not talked about. Yesterday we talked about 3 teams. We talked about the Saints. We talked about the Seattle Seahawks. And we talked about the Baltimore Ravens, who we had seen Antonio Brown working out with their skill players, including Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown. When you hear the Patriots now, how does this potential mix look to you here? A locker room that most people thought was the very worst, a playoff team, and one who we know with an aging Tom Brady has Super Bowl aspirations.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, Tom Brady, it's seeming that a lot of people are saying, you know, he still was the one advocating for AB to be there with the Patriots. And then now when it comes to the Bucks, I mean, I said it yesterday, the rich get richer when it comes to that position, because you've got Antonio Brown, potentially Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. So adding another weapon to an offense that, you know, is already skilled at that, you know, skill position, it's going to be really interesting to see how the ball is shared and balanced, but it doesn't hurt. And I think big picture here, if there's one player that is like no nonsense, going to get in your face and try to make sure everyone is in line, it's Tom Brady. And if he has been advocating for him, not even just this season, now last season, I feel like this could work.
Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier to help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Chenay, you mentioned their time with the Patriots. Tom Brady, you could argue his best game that season was when Antonio Brown was on the field for them against the Dolphins. He's been through this before with an organization that was so talented and used to taking these kind of chances on risk players like Antonio Brown, that now, down in Tampa with an even more talented offense in this situation at the skill position, you would say, kind of like we talked about with Seattle, they can bring him in, and if he's not willing to live by their rules, they can send him packing pretty easily here. it's just interesting to me because we wondered when Tom Brady and Bruce Arians got together how this marriage was going to work, who was going to have more influence on what. Because if you go back to March 26, Jenna Lane, our ESPN writer who does a great job covering the Bucks, had a piece on ESPN.com. March 26th of this year. And Bruce Arians had gone on Tiki and Tierney in CBS New York and said, with regards to the likelihood of Brown coming to Tampa Bay, quote, yeah, it's not going to happen. There's no room and probably not enough money, but it's not going to happen. It's not a fit here. Bruce Arians, who was with the Steelers when Antonio Brown was there, Bruce Arians, who knows him, and had said on the Adam Schefter podcast the other year, he's, quote, too much of a diva. I've heard so many stories. I like Antonio. He plays as hard as anybody on Sunday, and he practices hard. He's just got to make better decisions off the field, but be on time, do some of those things. Arian said before recalling Brown practice battles against, you know, Manuel Sanders, the other receivers they had in that core, but a guy who came out and said flat out no in a way that few other people would in that instance. Now all of a sudden, because Tom Brady's down here and they know what's at stake, making a move that, again, goes against what he had before.
But I guess maybe this is where having a season plays to your advantage. And this is a team, the Buccaneers, that is building a lot on trust, especially defensively, now getting healthier with Evans looking better and Godwin being back. And now Tom is sort of stepping into a position where a lot of people were wondering what he'd be at age 43, and he's still, you know, making the haters eat their words. And he's also a guy that, you know, goes and does his job. I can see why they would probably take a chance on this now, especially given you don't know how long either guy's window is. And I'm just looking overall, like, AB is a 7-time Pro Bowler. We all know when his talent is on display, what it's capable to be. I was actually even looking up during this time, the one game that Antonio Brown played with Tom Brady last year, 4 receptions, 56 yards, 1 TD. So maybe they're looking at that one small sample size and saying, if we can make this work, this could really, really help us. But we've seen the evidence in which things can really hurt, and that seems to be longer, especially the last few years.
All this, Chiney, it just comes back to, it's the usual moral dilemma we're presented here, because Antonio Brown's going to be great. I have very few worries about Antonio Brown, the football player, if he's in any kind of shape still coming back, and especially with this offense, with the guys around him. He's a different kind of receiver than Godwin and Mike Evans, certainly just based on size alone, but what we've seen from him, he's going to thrive if, you know, there's any indication there, and the team is good. I saw Jeff Schwartz tweeting about this, former NFL offensive lineman, saying, yeah, things are going to look better because they're going to be winning because things are going well. It's just the moral dilemma of us all knowing what we've seen about Antonio Brown, the person, and realizing that we're going to probably have to watch him be successful. It's very similar to what we went through with Tyreek Hill coming out of college, knowing the things that he was involved with while he was in school, and then seeing him have immediate success with the Kansas City Chiefs, seeing people chant his name in the crowd, and understanding that we're constantly put in these positions. At the very least, we talked about this earlier with Russell Wilson, saying, you know, believes in second chances, believes Antonio Brown is someone who has been humbled by this process and is remorseful. I doubt we're going to hear any of that flowery stuff here. I think it's pretty apparent to everyone what's going on in this spot. He's a guy they think is going to make them a better football team, period.
Yeah, and I think it's been interesting because it's been on the teams more so, not necessarily the NFL, even though, like, Goodell and Josh Gordon, like, had some kind of ties to make sure those chances are extended a number of times. The NFL has recently, like, had this idea that you can rehabilitate your image if the team so chooses to have you there. And so now this is another countless opportunity, and I guess you're right, it is a moral dilemma because you hear what's happened off the field and how are you going to be put in a position to have to root for them. But again, it's crystal clear this is probably about the window right the now of them winning football games, and I'm assuming we're going to hear that from them too.
Absolutely, and coming off an impressive win against Green Bay, you can see why Buccaneers are emboldened right now at their odds to maybe not just get into the playoffs but win the whole damn thing. So we'll get into more of that as that news continues to develop, and Adam Schefter will, I'm sure, keep us privy to what information is coming up. But when we talk about winning the whole damn thing, we got to go back to the world of Major League Baseball. Game 3 of the World Series is tonight between the Dodgers and Rays, and a couple of studs on the mound. We'll check in with our ESPN radio broadcast crew about what we can expect next.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Just heard from our own Doug Brown on our SportsCenter update about Antonio Brown, and The Buccaneers working towards an agreement per Adam Schefter, but a big one tonight. So let's talk baseball. Chinan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So let's go to the World Series. Dan Schulman, ESPN play-by-play announcer on the call for the World Series Game 3 right here tonight on ESPN Radio with Jess Mendoza, Chris Singleton, and Buster Olney. MLB on ESPN Radio's Dan Schulman joins us in studio giving us a straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Now, Dan, what are we to expect as the series is evened up, fresh off of a feel-good Tampa Bay Rays win?
Good to see you, Shanae. Good to see you virtually. Good to see you in person, Golic. Nice to be here. So I think we're going to have a great series. I mean, I think we've got two teams that are a little bit closer maybe than people think they are. The Dodgers are great, and they deserve to be the favorites. But the Rays have a lot of talent, and they've got a lot of fight in them, and they've got a lot of interchangeable parts and a very deep roster. And what I'm looking for tonight, guys, is we got two great starting pitchers tonight. We got Walker Buehler, and we got Charlie Morton. And if there's ever a game in the playoffs this year where both starters are going to go deep, and I'm not sure there is, the way that teams use their bullpens right now, but these two guys are both October studs. Like, they've been great in the playoffs, and I can't wait for this game tonight.
Yeah, Dan, I want to stick with that. I mean, how important, I know, and for the Dodgers, it's just such an embarrassment of riches in so many spots for them, including that pitching rotation. But for Charlie Morton, knowing what could be on the other side of this for the Rays, potentially having to go back another bullpen day to try and go deep with this Dodgers lineup, how important is it in particular for Charlie tonight?
I think it's a little bit bigger for the Rays, but their bullpen games are a little bit different than other teams' bullpen games, Mike, because they do it so much. Their guys are used to it. Like you say to Ryan Yarbrough, we want you to start, or we want you to come in the second, or we want you to come in with the bases loaded in the fourth. And he's like, okay, I got this. No problem. I'll do this. So they're used to it. But, yeah, they've got somewhat of a bullpen game coming tomorrow. The Dodgers will have a bullpen game in game six if it gets that far. So I think who needs this one more? I think it's kind of even. But, again, both of these guys are so – like, the Rays just don't lose when Charlie Morton pitches in October. They never lose. So that might mean a little bit more to Tampa Bay, given that Urias is going in game four, Kershaw's going in game five. So, yeah, maybe a little bit more to Tampa Bay.
Here with Dan Schulman, ESPN play-by-play announcer, on the call for World Series Game 3 tonight. Now, Dan, man, I was so in love with Game 1. Mookie Betts, again, you probably just heard, we're virtually saying hello because I'm in L.A. right now, so I'm not going to try to give too much of myself. But Mookie Betts, he's stolen headlines. He's stolen bases. Is he the most important player for the Dodgers?
I think he's as important to his team as any player is in baseball. I mean, I think we're getting to the point where you can start to say, is Mookie Betts the best player in baseball? Like, Mike Trout has had the belt for like 6 or 7 years, and deservedly so. But right now, the way that Mookie's playing, winning games with his legs, with his glove, with his arm, with his bat, I think he's right there, 1 and 1A in the conversation. So, yeah, Shanae, I would say he is the most important player because he's the best player. But I think there's going to come a moment in this series, and I don't know when it's going to be. Kenley Jansen's going to be in the game in the ninth inning. It's going to be a one-run lead for the Dodgers. And it's going to start getting hot. The water's going to start boiling. And at that moment, I reserve the right to say, right now, Kenley Jansen is the most important player for the Dodgers. but big picture, yeah, it is Mookie Betts.
Dan Schulman with us here on Chinay and Golic Jr. Again, you're going to hear him on the call with Chris Singleton and Jess Mendoza for Game 3 tonight on ESPN Radio. And you mentioned the pressure getting turned up, and I immediately think for so many people that goes to the thought of Clayton Kershaw coming down the line. But what about with their manager? I mean, when you look at Dave Roberts and the job he's done. I go back to last series where I'm listening to angry sports talk, radio callers calling for his head, and now they're on the cusp of potentially winning a World Series. But how much pressure is he taking into each one of these games for him, legacy-wise, security-wise?
I think a little bit, but I think people know now that a lot of the moves that managers are making in baseball are actually being predetermined to a certain extent by the front office and the analytics department. And we see it in basketball. We see it in football. We probably see it more in baseball, though, than in any other sport. So when they decide to go with Gonsolin for a while and then to bring in Floro and then to bring in May, like, a lot of this has been decided in advance. And then it's up to the players to execute the plan that the analytics department thinks is going to work. So, you know, Dave has told us, we get to Zoom with him every day before the game, and he's told us, you know, he's learned as a manager. He's gotten more comfortable in these extremely pressure-packed situations. I think he's doing okay. But listen, if the Rays beat the Dodgers, because the Dodgers are the favorites, perceived to be the favorites, there's going to be criticism of Dave Roberts. Whether it's justified is another story.
Dan, I'm curious, and you mentioned so many of the analytics driving these decisions, and we've seen it in every game. You know, Clayton Kershaw in game one, as soon as it looks like we're going to see him get touched up, they pull the trigger on that one. Blake Snell only pitches 4 2/3, yeah. I think, even yeah. though he's got 9 strikeouts through that. Does it take any of the bite out of it for you to see this? Have you gotten used to that part of modern baseball yet, as someone who calls it as much as you do?
I've gotten used to it. I get it. Like, I understand. It's all math, right? It's taking the emotion out of it, and it's like going to Vegas, and it's like playing blackjack. Do you hit on 16? Do you hit on 12? Do you hit on 12 when the dealer's got a 6 showing? It's just math. But it takes, to me, a little bit of the fun out of it that it does seem to be so predetermined. Like Charlie Morton threw 66 pitches through 5 2/3 great innings in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series and came out. 66 pitches. I mean, he had 40 more in the tank if he wanted, but the third time through the order is a huge thing, right? And again, the numbers show third time through the order, pitchers aren't going to do as well. So if you've got three horses down in the pen who throw 98, here they come. And I think the toothpaste is out of the tube on this one. I don't think it's going back in.
No, you're right. Listen, the competitive advantage, the sports portion of it, I get it. The strategy that's taken over, it's the smart thing to do. It's the right thing to do, but it is an adjustment for so many people. Chenan Gold Jr. reminding you, the World Series on ESPN Radio presented by AutoZone. Catch all the action starting tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And Dan, just on a personal level, the adjustment for you right now, you've been enjoying the palatial estate in Bristol, Connecticut here as you call a World Series remotely. What's it been like, the adjustment for you? Because I call games for college football. We're all kind of learning to see things differently in this process. So what's it been like for you, for Singleton, for Jess in the booth?
So during the regular season, I call Blue Jays games. So I did that remotely from Toronto, all 60 games from a studio in Toronto. And then here in October, whatever, I've done 20 or 21 playoff games. Half of them are in that studio across the hall, and half of them I was sitting right where you're sitting right now. So we did it in this studio. It's a bit of an adjustment. I mean, as you know, people know, they can kind of see we got all kinds of monitors in here, and the crew does a great job. They give us every look they can give us, the all nine, the high home look, the bullpens, the program look. But there are some moments, like the double steal in a game one, I'm like laser focused on the hitter, and I see the catcher catch the pitch, and then I see the catcher do like this, and I'm like, oh, Mookie, man, like you're stealing third, and you know, and I'm late on the call because I didn't look at the all nine monitors. So now if a guy's on first or second who might steal, I've got to look at this monitor. You've just got to bounce around a little bit, whereas normally you can just see the field, and it's all right there in front of you. But it's the best that it can be, and I know I speak for every baseball announcer. I'm grateful to be calling games. I'm grateful the sport has gotten to this point of the season and that we're all still getting to see baseball.
It's so true. As we watch so many other sports try and match that now, it is an incredible testament. I think I saw 54 consecutive days now without a positive test,
which is great
for Major League Baseball. It's an incredible triumph. Looking forward to the broadcast tonight. Dan Schulman, Jessica Mendoza, Chris Singleton going to be on the call for World Series Game 3. Thanks for the time, Dan. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Looking forward to that. A lot of energy on the mound coming up tonight for both of those teams. Coming up next, we'll keep that same energy. We'll finally pay off the tease I've been hitting the whole show about advice for your dating app from Chinne Agumike. What the other side is scouting for
you
next.
You have to be alone.
Chinne and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We made it. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Unless it comes to your height. Chenan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Now, we got to show the crew some love. We got to thank Troy Polamalu, who joined us, Pro Football Hall of Famer, who rated Patrick Mahomes' hair, and Big Ben in year 17. Ariel Helwani, who was on a tour.
Came out here and absolutely took the flamethrower to everyone in studio right now.
Yep, he's our ESPN MMA insider who highlighted the real motivating factor for Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Clip it. Nurmagomedov. Now yous can't leave. We're in here together.
As he gets set for his fight Saturday at 2 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Now I'm sad. We got to thank Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, also co-host of NFL Live, who gave us the real reason Daniel Jones couldn't make it into the end zone. He was in the friend zone clearly on that play. And our own Dan Schulman, who's on the call for World Series tonight, ESPN play-by-play announcer, who told us where Mookie Betts stands against, you know, the greats, including Mike Trout. You can catch all those combos we had today on Chenna and Golic Jr. podcast. Rate, subscribe, review.
Do all of it. Go there now. Take your friend's phone, rate, and review it. We got a lot of love from the Sunbelt fans the other night, so shout out to that whole crew.
Oh,
right
we did?
Now. Oh, yeah, we got a big-time bump in that. Believe me, I check that stuff. I am that vain and insecure, but I digress. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Penzoil Performance Line. And, Chiney, you said give some love to your crew, and I'm not going to lie. Everyone in this room just turned on me in here now because Devin and Cliff and Shannon are all in the Zoom wondering where their love is in this process here.
Nobody? Where's their love?
I mean, I said something like, you guys, you want
that was
love,
Devin and... complaining, by the way. I didn't say anything. That
you
was
got
just,
in my ear.
No. That was all Devin complaining. I didn't say anything.
I heard crew, and I'm like, oh, man, this is nice Friday. We're about to get some love. And then she said, Troy Polamalu. Wow.
I give you guys love each and every day, and the only person that's making me hate y'all, well, I'm not going to hate
Wow.
is Cliff.
100%.
Sucking it out of me. We've been ELE since August 17th.
Hey, what did I do? I didn't even
You
do
never
anything.
Said you love me, Cliff.
Listen, it's Friday night. We got to keep that same energy at some point, right?
Okay, so do it.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy levels was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
It's okay. I accept it.
All right.
I'm never going to win.
Listen, never say never. Never's a long time because I never thought I would see Rob Gronkowski FaceTime with a baby rhino. But then I went onto the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Twitter account today and I saw just that. Apparently the Tampa Zoo named a baby rhino after Gronk and he got on a FaceTime call with it. And Devin, do we have the audio of this right now? This is Rob Gronkowski talking to a baby rhino.
Hello, baby Gronk. It's very nice to meet you. It is Rob Gronkowski here from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I just want to say it is an honor to have you named after me. And let me tell you something. People say I look like a dinosaur and they call me Gronkosaurus.
Who says that?
So I think you are my long lost cousin out there. And you are the Gronk Rhinosaurus coming from the Gronkosaurus. I just want to say that I have heard that you are super fast. Big,
what?
Strong, good looking, very nice skin, very cuddleful, which means you like to cuddle. People love to cuddle you. I just want to say it is an honor to meet you, baby Gronk, and you are my new inspiration.
Why did he sound so out of breath during that?
Did the rhino hang up on him?
I think so. Did he get nexted by a rhino?
Friend zone.
Oh my God.
That's actually really funny because I've never heard anyone say that about Gronk.
What, in the friend zone?
No. The dinosaur.
Yeah, cop. No, I was going to say, I was wondering where he pulled that. No one has called him Gronkosaurus in this process. Speaking of which, Chiney, we talk about the friend zone and apparently a Gronkosaurus, which is not a thing I ever thought was real. In all this, we've been talking about this all show. I have maintained in keeping that same energy that no guy above 6'2" has ever lied about his height willingly on all of this. Now, you have said when it comes to what you are scouting on the dating apps that I sit at 6'4", the ideal height there. Walk me through this process of what you're looking for and what the listed height tells you when some guy's on a dating app.
So if you are saying that you are 6 feet tall on a dating app, you're probably shorter than that.
For sure.
And if you're saying you're 6'4 plus, you're probably taller than what you actually are listing yourself as. Because if you're like 6'8", you're probably going to say I'm 6'6 because you don't want to scare anybody off. And if you're 5'10", you want to say you're 6 foot because you want to impress some people. So those people that are 6 to 6'4", they're usually telling the truth.
I didn't realize the sweet spot was that. I think small in this one, ironically, in a conversation about height. But the thing that Chiney casually slipped in before the show, by the way, that her sweet spot is 6'7". I said, my ideal guy, just like a nice 6'7" walking around.
Okay, so if I'm going to be, your people, your wife, your work wife, I'm going to tell you the truth. And you guys can make fun of me. Don't boo me, Cliff.
Uh-oh.
I have listed myself at 6'4". I'm really 6'2".
Whoa, what? Wait, like, are you talking about in the roster?
Barefoot 6'2", so in shoes 6'3", which means they list me at 6'4".
You're saying on the roster, right? Like,
yeah, on the roster.
Not like on the dating apps, right?
On the dating app, I say I'm 6'3", so I can, like, make sure I look, taller.
Wow.
Because I like to be taller so that they know what they're working with. Like, I'm not going to say I'm 6'2 or 6'1". Like, I'm going to tell you I'm 6'3".
You know what? That is a reminder. Never make yourself smaller for anybody. They
yes!
need to take us and accept us as we are. That's the energy we're looking to keep right there. I think we just found a whole bleeping mood to go into the weekend on.
Yes, sir.
Everybody love everybody. Don't make yourself smaller for anybody. Enjoy the matchup on the mound tonight, Game 3 of the World Series. Spain and Fitz next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.